You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
This hour, we have a look at the African National Congress. Now, as I have been saying the whole morning, I said it this morning on breakfast with my colleague Bongani Bingwa, and also at the beginning of our show today, President Cyril Ramaphosa obviously has a lot that he needs to deal with inside the state to make sure that the state of the state is improved, that it is fit for purpose, and we reverse the rot of the state capture project. And that rot continues to manifest itself long after President Jacob Zuma is, of course, no longer the head of state. But at the same time, the African National Congress since NASREC haven't exactly been a place where everyone simply gets along. And there are crises within the party that can be potentially problematic for President Cyril Ramaphosa. He didn't exactly win by a massive majority at NASREC as it is. And so if he does not successfully deal with, and the NEC doesn't successfully deal with the various challenges in many provinces, whether we're talking the Free State, whether we're talking KwaZulu-Natal, whether we're talking here in Gauteng now even, and also, of course, in the Eastern Cape, where there are legal battles that are raging, then the ANC will find itself being a gift for the DA and the EFF. We often talk about how strategic, tactical, and communicative errors that are made by the opposition parties are a gift to the ANC, but it seems like all of our major parties are gifts for one another. So what we'd like to do this hour is to just slowly go through the different crises within the party and the challenges, the factional battles that you're finding. We're going to start off talking about Gauteng. It wasn't clear yesterday whether or not five regional conferences, in fact, will go ahead. The Secretary General saying no, it's not going to be the case. Then late last night, we see different communications saying suddenly it will be. What exactly is going on here? The Eastern Cape is also in disarray. There's a legal case there that's been playing out. KZN, we know, has been lethal. And sadly, I do not mean that figuratively, also quite literally, all over the place, and of course also in the Free State. And what does it all mean in turn for President Cyril Ramaphosa's legitimacy, both his political legitimacy and also from the point of view of whether or not the outcomes at NASREC could potentially be challenged? That was the major front page story with a pretty good piece of news analysis in Friday's edition of the Mail and Guardian. Well, the first person I'm going to speak to is Phule Mabe, who is, of course, the ANC's national spokesperson, and he has been tasked to speak specifically to us about what it is that has been going on and is going on here in Gauteng. 12 minutes after 10.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
Phule Mabe, Phule, thank you so much for making time for the Eusebius Makaiser Show. Much appreciated. Thank you so much for coming on.
Morning, Eusebius, and morning to your listeners.
I just want some facts, Phule, because the minutiae of ANC processes are often not things that many of us are very familiar with as commentators, broadcasters, the average Joe. You are in the belly of the beast. There's a quote from ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule in relation to the regional conferences in Gauteng that went viral izolo when he said the following, and I quote him verbatim: "We have decided to postpone all regional conferences in Gauteng that were supposed to take place this weekend." Has there now been a case of montaging on that statement?
No, SABS, not necessarily. But I think to bring about the context there, there would have been comrades from the Westrand region who will have brought forward a number of concerns to the National Executive Committee, which concerns were referred back to the conference. I were referred back to the province, I'm sorry about that, so that the province could be able to use its internal resolution remedies like the Provincial Dispute Resolution Committee to deal with those, so that issues are only elevated to the national level if people are unable to find a recourse or find each other at a lower level. So today, as we speak, deployees, NEC deployees, together with the province and regions will be meeting in Gauteng so that they could be able to take stock and do that kind of an assessment and look at the various other reports. For instance, when a conference seat is serious, there are a number of things that must be satisfied. You need to have done your verification of delegates who are expected to participate in that conference to make sure that they are coming through a legit, credible process. You need to also establish if you are ready from a logistics point of view, their venues are paid or are arranged. You also need to make sure that politically you are ready as well with things like your discussion documents, which will ultimately shape the political program of that specific region. So what the ASG meant was that as you enter into these regional conferences, you ought to make sure that all of these things are addressed so that you can eliminate or avoid at best some of these possible challenges that we've been seeing with some of the people even going to court and all of that. So this was really the intention. But of course, the cutoff date that has been set up for regional conferences is the end of June in Gauteng, and the cutoff date for provincial conferences is the end of July.
Yeah.
So that structures of the ANC now begin focusing themselves on the national conference. So when it came out, it might have others might have thought that maybe we are saying conferences are cancelled. No, that is not the spirit through which the message was communicated. The spirit through which it was communicated or conveyed was to the extent that you allow for this assessment to be done. But structures are meeting today. Now, once they've met this afternoon, we'll be able to then know to what extent have they been able to deal with the concerns that were coming up and to what extent are they at least fulfilling all the requirements to make sure that they sit under a very conducive climate.
Okay. Now, Pule, I must say, this is a first between you and me. Maybe it's because I'm in, have extra energy this morning. You are crystal clear to me. I'm covered.
Okay.
There's only one question I wanted to ask you, though. Your crystal clear claim now that the conferences, in fact, are going ahead. How could your SG have misspoken? I mean, there's only one possible meaning of the following words from him. We have decided to postpone. I didn't know that the words "we have decided to postpone" are subject to interpretation.
Oh, no, Isabias, let me come in there. If you listen to the text, including the audio, where the SG speak about postponement, it is then followed by a line that says, to make sure that as we sit these conferences, we have satisfied ourselves that all processes have been fulfilled and met. There's a line there. After postponement, there is a statement that follows.
No, but the sentence that I'm reading reads as follows. Just listen to it very carefully. I know it's awkward sometimes to be spokesperson for political principles who don't speak plainly. Here's the sentence, and this is verbatim. This is what the SG said. We have decided to postpone all regional conferences in Gauteng that were supposed to take place this weekend. I wouldn't have thought that that has got more than one meaning.
Okay, can I come in there? You see, maybe just to give clarity, as the SG was raising the issue of the postponement, which postponement did not necessarily talk to a cancellation of the conference, it would have been out of an engagement that the Gauteng PEC, because the Gauteng PEC is represented by the acting chair and the secretary in an ex officio capacity to the NEC, together with the NEC deployees, would have met and then said, can we still go ahead this week? If we don't, will we have sufficient time to deal with all the concerns? Then a decision was then taken that maybe what we should do is zoom into these issues Tuesday, which is today, in the afternoon, to take stock so that if there is a cancellation, it doesn't come about if there is a postponement, it doesn't get to be conveyed as a cancellation of this. Hence, I'm emphasizing that the cutoff date for these conferences is the end of June, and for the provincial conference is the end of July.
No, don't worry, my friend. You are crystal clear. I hear you. I understand you. Maybe you should come back in your next life as SG. I'm just saying that what the SG said is both grammatically and logically incompatible with your crystal clarity on this particular matter. I mean, put it differently. The SG was misspeaking yesterday, right? Just to say he was lying might be a bit naughty.
No. It's obvious. I want to help here, but you see, I'm avoiding to get you into our internal engagement. But for the sake of your listeners, this is what would have happened. There would have been an engagement of deployees together with the province. And out of that engagement, they would have reflected themselves and said, shouldn't we rather consider a possible postponement of conferences this week? And then so we deal with all the concerns and make sure that by the time we reach the cutoff date, all of these conferences have said. Now, it was within that context that the Secretary General of the ANC conveyed a message of a postponement. That is not in any way suggesting that conferences were to be cancelled. No, no way. That's why the meeting is sitting today, to be able to deal with all of those nitty-gritties.
Okay, last try, and then we're going to leave it there. If there was a process of engagement to make sure that all of the ANC's very good and very hygienic and well-designed norms and standards for how regional conferences should be run are met so that we don't have legal challenges going forward, then it means the sentence "we have decided to postpone all regional conferences" were premature. The SG, unlike you today, the SG was being very premature. He should have arrested himself, shouldn't he?
I don't, because you see, SBS, that's why I'm saying I'm avoiding to take you into our informal, into our internal.
No, I'm not asking that. Let me be clear what I'm not asking you to do. I don't want to know. Hold on, Pule. I want to be very clear. I'm not asking you to talk to me about sensitive things behind closed doors. You and I are having a standard one English comprehension test conversation. The words "we have decided to postpone all regional conferences" has got only one meaning, and that's got nothing to do with betraying confidence about what happens behind closed doors.
No, I agree with that fully.
I know we are covered, Baba.
Yes, no, there we are covered. All I'm saying is that, no, I'm going there, but I'm going there out of appreciation of certain sensitivities so that I can create clarity. Even for your listeners, I mean, there are quite a lot of people who listen to this show, you know, so we need to live here having created an understanding, and one understanding that says at the time we have not concluded the National Executive Committee. One, the NEC deployees together with the province at the time, in their own comparison of notes, would have intimated or considered, amongst other things, this possibility of a postponement. Now, when this gets to be projected as a decision, it was not out of malice. It was out of saying, let us go back to the drawing board, make sure that all of these concerns that are coming out are addressed. So that was really the spirit through which the message was conveyed.
Yeah, the spirit is there, but I'm afraid the language was not there. Thanks for coming on, Pule.
Okay, no, thanks.
Cheers, my friend. Much appreciated. Pule Mabe, ANC National Spokesperson. Jeez, I hope these guys get paid enough money, hey, to pull those kinds of tricks. "We have decided to postpone all regional conferences." No. The spirits of that was that we have not decided to postpone them. How do you get there? Hey, it's like saying something is both dead and not dead all at the same time. 22 minutes after 10.
Eusebius Makaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Hey, those are the shenanigans in Gauteng. The Eastern Cape also has leadership crises. We put the spotlight on that next.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
25 minutes after 10, of course, the Free State. We're going to come to the ANC in the Eastern Cape in a little while, and also KZN the rest of this hour. And the reason we're doing this is because it's not only important for us to understand what happens in the provinces, but also there's a very important link eventually. If you pull the threads between the factional battles, the legal battles, the political battles in each of these major provinces in terms of the ANC's leadership crises, it can and eventually will, firstly, distract the ANC national leadership from doing what it needs to be doing, which is really to focus on the state of the state. And secondly, it could also eventually be a major headache for President Cyril Ramaphosa, because remember that there are also interesting legal arguments that are being threshed out here about NASREC as well. Who should have been allowed to vote? Who shouldn't have been allowed to vote, etc., etc.? What does that mean? And then beyond the legal questions, there are obviously questions here of political legitimacy, and the notion of political legitimacy is slightly different to the legal questions playing out here. So there's plenty at stake here in terms of national politics. And when the ANC sneezes, the country catches a cold, because it's a massive social movement, political movement in the country. So it's really important that we understand some of these dynamics. Joining me now is the chairperson of the Kholishlahla branch in the Free State, Selo Tetebe. Selo, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Thank Thank you very much, Yusebius, and the listeners.
The listeners are confused. The public is confused. Let's slow down the conversation for them a little bit, Sello. When it comes to the leadership in the Free State, is there an existing leadership, as far as you are concerned, that is there, both politically and as a matter of law, legitimately?
As far as I'm concerned, and I represent the views of a wide range of members of the ANC who are affronted by what happened on the 18th and 19th of May, there is no legitimate leadership in place, because in terms of the letter that the Secretary General himself wrote to all provinces, he stated five criteria in terms of which conferences had to be held. And he said in the very first point that there had to be an up-to-date audit of membership, and that such outcomes must be communicated to all the affected structures. And he went on to list a number of things. But one of them, I think, which I must not leave out, is that he himself would then sign off on such an audit. Things that we know have not been complied with. Of course, we do know that in respect of the Free State, there was a court verdict of the 15th of December 2017, which stated
yes.
that the 14 branches, you will remember the NEC that was elected before Nasrec, held a special session and said those branches should not take part in conference, and indeed that did happen. But even that bit was not complied with, but that is not the only part that was not complied with. You may remember that for purposes of Nasrec, the cutoff date for audit of membership was the 30th of April 2017.
Yeah.
So it's been more than a year since that audit was done. So if you look at all the five criteria that the SG stated, he himself has not ensured that the Free State complied with those criteria that he listed there. It is these and other grounds that have impelled us to once again go to court and challenge the outcome of that shameless charade, we call it, that took place at Ilanga Estate in Bloemfontein, something that we must never be proud of at all.
So where's that process at now then?
We filed papers last week Friday. The organization has been served with those papers, and including, of course, that includes the provincial executive that came out of there, which we say that we do not recognize because they did not follow due process. It cannot be, you see this, and the listeners, that in this centenary of Mandela and Masisulu, we still have to be fighting each other about compliance, you know, with regards to the constitution of the organization, the resolutions that were taken very recently in Nasrec, and through the eye of the needle, we have a huge institutional memory that we are proud of.
Okay.
This is not the time when we should be fighting about those issues of compliance.
So I'm going to keep you just on the line. There's a couple more issues I want to thresh out with you, but we've got to take a quick break. We are dealing this hour with the ANC's various provincial crises. We've spoken a bit about what's happening in Gauteng. We're now on the Free State. We're going to continue chatting to Sello in a second. Thereafter, we're going to speak about the Eastern Cape and KZN as well. Why does it matter to you? It matters profoundly because if the ANC is caught up in these internal, factional, internecine battles, it means that they are distracted from delivering that much punted better life for all by making sure that the state, in fact, is their primary focus, which is what we all wanted with a new dawn. But you can't have a new dawn in the state if these battles are raging in the provinces, because it's a distraction for the ANC from governing. That's why how these things play out matters profoundly to your life and to mine.
Eusebius Makaiser on your number one news and talk station.
25 minutes before 11, if you're listening to us now, we are dealing with the crises in many provinces inside the ANC's leadership structures. It matters to you and to me, because if the ANC is distracted by legal wrangles and also political differences, it does mean that the ANC is certainly in no position to focus exclusively and also exhaustively on turning around the state of the state, which is where it should ideally be putting its political resources, rather than really having factions and comrades at loggerheads. We have dealt a little bit with the Gauteng situation. We'll keep you posted how that plays out in the days and weeks ahead. We are currently speaking to the chairperson of the Holy Slashla branch in the Free State. They are deeply unhappy with the putative, as far as they are concerned, leadership of the ANC in the Free State. And Tselo de Tebe is, in fact, my guest right now. Tselo, just one or two issues I'd like to pick up on, and please explain him. I mean, you've been incredibly lucid, and I appreciate that, despite the complexity, for the sake of the public understanding what's going on here. Can you, in essence, summarize what the legal arguments are contained in the papers? Obviously, this is fundamentally a political matter, but at the point at which you serve papers, you now go into the realm of the legal. What is the legal argument that this is pinned on?
But look, we are basically approaching the court that there is contempt in respect of the outcome of the extant court order of the December 2015, that is. But there is a previous court order of the 29th of November, same year, that is. So taken together with a whole range of other violations, we have approached the court to say the ANC in the Free State has not complied with provisions of the Constitution, nor has it complied with provisions of NASREC resolutions in terms of organizational renewal and all other stipulated criteria that must be complied with as and when a regional or provincial conference is held. And that is the major issue, you see. And I just want to go back to the issue that you spoke about, which is the ANC being concerned about running the country. We agree totally with that. In fact, we are very much heartened by the leadership of President Ramaphosa. As you would have seen, Ipsos ran a survey, Mobile Pulse, it's called, and 76% of South Africans say they are quite happy with the way he is running government, and 79% overwhelmingly saying they are quite confident about the manner in which he's managing the economy and so forth. And of course, how many others, 28%, extremely likely to vote for the ANC under his presidency. There are these troubling things that we think that the ANC is capable of dealing with, and these are internal issues. If you go to page 13 of the NASREC resolutions on organizational renewal, that very document stipulates challenges, one of which is factionalism, and the other one is manipulation of internal processes. We are saying these comrades are guilty as charged as far as manipulation of internal processes are concerned. And we are troubled, deeply troubled, that the Secretary General himself, whose responsibility it is to ensure that the organization in the province is compliant as far as that is concerned, has not done anything. If anything, we actually see his hand in all of these things, because why would he ensure that this conference went ahead despite it not being compliant in respect of all of the issues that we have raised in our court paper?
Final question. If we step back from some of this detail, we have yet again deference to the law in order to settle internal political battles. The ANC NEC is not very chuffed about that. What is your view on their attitude about how undesirable it is for disgruntled people to be running to the courts?
Well, first of all, let's look at NASREC. NASREC says, page 22, paragraph 2, on discipline. It says it recognizes, as citizens of the country, members of the ANC's right to go to court if they are unhappy. Of course, as a matter of last resort. Everything that we did, you see this, from last year, and on two occasions, we were vindicated by two successive court judgments. And we, if this is not resolved, and we would like it to be resolved amicably, we will be vindicated once again, because we have exhausted all internal processes. As I say, go and look at paragraph 2, page 22 of the organizational renewal resolution of NASREC. It says it recognizes members of the ANC's right to go to court. We are saying that if Comrade Ace Magashule was committed, heart, body, and soul, to ensuring that the very process of renewal of the organization, uniting the organization, was carried out. When we had the opportunity to set up the provincial task team in February of this year, he would not have unduly influenced the makeup of that PTT in such a way that it was loaded with his acolytes, with those that are actually there as his cohort. Mm. But that's what he did. And we are saying that we are in agreement with the organization that we should exhaust all internal remedies. But what do you do when a senior official of the organization consciously and deliberately perverts all internal processes and subverts any and every attempt at trying to ensure that the organization is run outside of the courts of this country?
Okay, we're going to leave it there for today. Cello, thanks for coming on. Appreciate your making time.
Thank you.
Cello Dutebe, who is the chairperson of the Holishlashla branch in the Free States. Fascinating, isn't it? Yet again, legal battles looming. It's not ideal for our courts to be clogged up with what should ideally be threshed out internally in political parties, because yet again we have political factions deferring to the law. And while they have a right to do so in law, what does it say about the state of the ANC that there's so much legalism going on instead of comrades honestly fighting, contesting, winning and losing battles just through political processes internally? 18 minutes before 11.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
On the line with me now is the Eastern Cape, who's also in the news, and I'm joined by the chairperson, Oscar Mabuyane. These days, I'm not quite sure whether it's accurate for me to be giving people titles with all these fights going on in the party, Oscar. But be that as it may, welcome to Cape Talk in 702.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners at home.
I know that you are extremely busy, so I'm also really appreciative that you're giving us a couple of minutes. Thanks so much for doing so.
Okay. Thank you.
So I've got a couple of questions. Please help me and the public out, Oscar. The Ndebele report, so-called, why is everyone scared of it? What's in it?
I think there's nothing scary about the report per se, because the report was a culmination of an internal organizational process. You would understand that both our provincial conference, there were members of the ANC who were not happy, actually, about the outcome of the conference, with all sorts of allegations that they were putting. They then went to national leadership, led by the then NEC president, came down, and NEC officials, NWC, to visit the province, listen to all members here interacting, and they gave a kind of a guidance to say now that there is a formal dispute, the dispute process is going to be followed. Therefore, everyone must accept that there was a conference, and the conference emerged with the leadership up until the NEC decide otherwise. Yes, indeed, the report was brought before the NEC sometime in March in the NEC that took place in Cape Town. We were there in the NEC, and then in the NEC meeting, there was a recommendation from the officials NWC, which was giving a kind of guidance. The report was carrying recommendations, of course, because that remains a competence of the NEC constitutionally to take a decision as the highest decision-making body. So, well, in the report itself, there were a lot of gaps in the report and how even the process was undertaken, and there were a lot of questions and answers. Unfortunately, the team was not there to answer for itself, and then the NEC had to use its own wisdom in arriving at a conclusion in the best interest of the ANC moving forward. Clearly, in terms of the report itself, if you talk about a conference of the ANC, you talk about a conference that is attended by 90% people from branches and 10% from the other structures and leagues. So if you talk about an investigation on a conference, you can't investigate 10% and leave 90% without hearing what exactly happened. Even people who fought there were people who were on the 90%, that basically delegates from branches. So you needed to have their side of the story as well. But besides that, the report itself acknowledges that the disruption in the conference was premeditated. But what was surprising is for the recommendations to talk about the actually disbandment of the conference, of the PEC, and allow the conference
to rerun. So let's slow that down then. Step one, the African National Congress National Executive Committee needs to formally adopt a view on the report, including its recommendations. Why has the ANC-NEC shied away from giving a definitive view on the report, including its recommendations?
The NEC has given that, has clarified itself. We see that there is a conscious effort not to communicate and clarify this issue in the public. We also wondering, as members of the ANC, also as a province in particular, why the national office and communicators of the ANC are not giving a definite clarity on the issue. The NEC clarified itself. Even the last NEC cleared any kind of misconception around what the NEC decided on the matter. The NEC agreed. It recognizes the PEC. Therefore, it endorsed the conference that took place, the 8th conference of the Eastern Cape that took place. So there is no question about that. Because of those gaps that were in the report and the incoherence that the report brought to the ANC, you wanted a solution than confusion. So the task team never did its work to its logical conclusion. But therefore, the NEC had to arrive at a particular decision because that decision resides in the NEC. It was not residing in a committee or a commission. It was just meant to facilitate and bring a report that the NEC can consider. Recommendation will remain a recommendation. Constitutional NEC, it's a platform that must still process that and take a final decision on the matter, of which the NEC did. That decision was taken by then. Unfortunately, at that point, as you would remember, the NEC couldn't do any otherwise because any decision against that would have been in contempt of court. Remember, the group that is called it to be disgruntled group in the Eastern Cape, went to court on the last day of the conference trying to interdict the conference. They lost. They further went to High Court in Grahamstown to contest the court for its nullification, the conference. They lost full bench in Grahamstown. So already there was a court decision that the NEC couldn't do anything about it because if any decision that seeks to undermine that, NEC itself or ANC would have been in contempt of court. As we speak, the matter is in the Constitutional Court besides the yesterday court case. That's another process because yesterday they were taking NEC to court on its decision, particularly around this Mundebele report. So you have that issue that needed.
So Oscar, what did disgruntled?
So now we deal with it.
So what the disgruntled people are arguing, which is very interesting because it obviously is not compatible with what you are saying. There's an interesting factual dispute. They're not arguing that the NEC reverse its view on the Ndebele report, but that it takes a view specifically on the recommendations in the report. So if I'm understanding you correctly, as far as you are concerned, as a matter of fact, the ANC-NEC has not been silent and agnostic on the recommendations of the report. When did it take a view on the recommendations and what was the content of it?
The problem is the group is selective on how it deals with the report, particularly on the issue of recommendations. There is not one recommendation there. There are a couple of recommendations that the NEC has actually applied its mind on. Part of it is this issue of a facilitation of a political process to ensure that Eastern Cape people understand. The same grouping refused even to be actually to really comply with the NEC guidance from October until now when the NEC, former NEC came here to say work with the PEC up until the NEC era. They have been permanently defiant. Even in that NEC, even on this one, they continued to do that. But we continue to do work because the NEC has actually made its mind on this issue and made a final ruling on the matter. We have continued to do work. We are uniting members of the ANC. We are uniting structures. And PEC is functioning normally in the province. We are one of the best provinces in terms of state of readiness on elections. If you look at our cloud system reports, etc.
Well, everything is not functioning. I mean, everything is obviously not functioning. Normally, if that was the case, we wouldn't be having this conversation about the internal battles that's going on. But let's take a break here, a little bit of a breather, and then we'll finish the conversation on the other side of this break. I'm in conversation with Eastern Cape ANC putative chair, Oscar Mabuyane, and we're talking about some of the legal challenges to the ANC's leadership there. By the way, give me a quick call. You've listened a little bit to what Pule Maba had to say. Sile Dabebe had to say about the Free State. You listen to Oscar now from the Eastern Cape. Here's my question to you. Do you think that the ANC is on top of some of these political differences between the leaders in key parts of the party. We haven't even got to KZN. We'll do so on another occasion. But certainly in the Eastern Cape, you've got legal and political challenges to the leadership going on. You've got the Free State. You heard the Free State disgruntled bunch talking there. And you had Pule Mabe pulling all sorts of linguistic gymnastics to try and explain to you why it is that the SG was somehow taken out of context when he plainly said five regional conferences won't go away. What does it say about the state of the ANC? Do you think that, in fact, the current ANC is doing well post-NASREC? Or do you think that, in fact, those deep differences the morning after Zuma are still there? A quick couple of calls from you. 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town, 021-446-0567.
Eusebius Makaiza on your number one news and talk station.
Okay, we're wrapping up our focus on what's happening in various provinces and the leadership crises within the African National Congress. Eastern Cape ANC Chairperson Oscar Mabuyane has been my guest for the last 15 minutes or so. Oscar, I just have one final question to you. When we are looking at what's going on in the Eastern Cape, the legal challenges that are going on, and also the way in which the ANC national leadership is responding, some people are saying the reason why your leadership has been recognized and why the recommendations of the Ndebele report in fact have not been implemented to the letter, including dismantling the provincial executive, disbanding it and putting in place an interim structure, is simply because there is a fear that if that should happen, it might open the door for potentially NASREC being challenged and ultimately Cyril Ramaphosa's election to the highest office within the ANC and by implication within the land, and that the fear of that knock-on effect that challenging the ANC provincial leadership had, because it might have implications for who could or could not have gone to NASREC, even if it is retrospectively, that is simply too much for Cyril Ramaphosa and Luthuli House to deal with, and that motivates them to protect you.
I'm really not sure about that. I can't answer for such people. It's just a mere speculation, just to create this sense of ambivalence in the membership of the ANC. I don't really think that that's a point at all. The National Conference said it adopted credentials, it elected leadership, and then we talk about something else now. We have got leadership that is leading the country. The leadership is not about Eastern Cape, it's about the ANC. National is about the country. Now we have got a state president. The country is led by President Cyril Ramaphosa. I don't think we must be putting such things into this kind of situation that we are in. The ANC is a very complex organization, you'd understand. Even if it's a one member, we must be concerned about that because we are about unity. We must always reach out, even one member. If you have got a disgruntled member or even group, you must attend to that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that those people are equated to the organization. Okay. But you must attend to that because we are not about division. We are about unity, and we want maximum unity in the ANC. We are
talking
about maximum cohesion in the country through the unit of the ANC.
Thank you, Oscar. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Cheers. That was Oscar Mabuyane, Eastern Cape ANC chairperson. Okay, very quickly, 20 seconds. What do you have to say?
Hi, good morning, Yusidios, and thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, get straight to the point, okay? We're running out of time. What's your reaction to all this?
The ANC is imploding, my man. It's falling apart from inside. You can see this is chaos, and I worry that these people that we have entrusted with managing our economy,
absolutely,
they are unable to manage their own internal structures. That
100%.
Is very worrying. 100%,
okay. If they can't manage their own internal affairs, how much more the public purse? Tabiso Nsoweto, 20 seconds.
You see, yes, they managed to rule this country for 23 years, you know, using our resources. Now they are fighting for them without even giving us anything. It is not a complicated organization. It's a corrupt organization. As the second caller said, it's imploding. And then we must not give these people any mandate to rule this country. I've been saying in this show, you see, that we need to move beyond the...
Okay, we're going to leave it there for today, Tabiso. Thanks for calling in. That was our focus on various provincial leadership crisis within the African National Congress.